The reading from the Hebrew Bible is from Psalm 13, beginning at verse 1. How long, God, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And the gospel reading is from Matthew 10, beginning verse 40. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. And the contemporary reading is from this table, which is from Sound and the Seasons by Malcolm Geet. The centuries have settled on this table, deepened the grain beneath a clean white cloth which bears afresh our changing elements. Year after year of prayer and hope and trouble were poured out here and blessed and broken, both in aching absence and in absent present. This table too the earth herself has given and human hands have made. Where candle flame at corners burns and turns the air to light, the oak once held its branches up to heaven, blessing the elements which it became, rooting the dew and rain, branching the light. Because another tree can bear, unbearable for us, the weight of love, so can this table. For the word in scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
I was a bit amused listening to Heather reading the psalm, "How long will my enemy triumph over me?" It's quite appropriate, isn't it, for today? Let us pray. As we reflect on the word from scripture and from contemporary writers, may we hear what we need to hear, and may we find that we are enlightened. So may it be. Amen. Everyone, it seems, carries a water bottle these days. Well, that is, they carry their water bottle if they haven't left it behind at St Andrew's Church or Centre. Every Monday we come across bottles tucked under a chair or in a corner. There's a particularly pretty purple patterned one out in the North Vestry as I speak. It's been there for a while. We could have a sale of water bottles for fundraising. So it seems that everyone understands the importance of just a cup of water. And I could sit down now. Marcus Borg, you'll remember, includes water, or at least thirst for water, in his list of the six different routes to being saved, redeemed, or transformed that he has discovered in Scripture, and six isn't an exclusive list. Do you remember them? Being brought back home from exile, being freed from bondage and oppression, finding light in the darkness, gaining forgiveness for wrongdoing, new life coming after something has died, and what I want to dwell on today, nourishment to relieve our hunger and thirst. Thirst is a healthy sign that we need fluids. With the ubiquitous water bottles all around us, I wonder whether anyone ever feels real thirst these days. My sister told me of her friend who found himself talking to a student. He was a specialist in urinary issues. The student was complaining that she had urinary frequency and every now and again was sipping on a bottle of water, and he wondered why she didn't get it. But real dehydration is dangerous. It robs the cells of the fluid medium that they need to get nutrients to the right place. It thickens the blood so it can't safely transport oxygen and waste around the body, and it interferes with clear thinking. But we thirst for things other than water. We might really need beauty around us, rather than only the brown and black of war zones. Human beings need colour and life. We thirst for stimulation and good company, for people who enjoy tossing around the same ideas and seeking solutions. We thirst for love and for families that will nurture us and yet let us become the individuals we need to be. And we need food of different sorts too, food to grow brains that think well, strong ethics, and good communities. We need the spiritual milk or the spiritual meat of which Paul writes to his little group of Jesus followers at Corinth. He said, "I gave you milk, not strong food, for you were not yet ready for it." Indeed, he says, you are still not ready. Obviously, they needed to grow up in Corinth. Our ability to absorb the food for the soul grows as we mature on the spiritual journey. So hungry and thirsty spiritual beings as we are, we need to find and be given the food and drink, the water of life and the bread of life that our souls need to grow and develop. And we search in books and around the churches for satisfying and filling food that will assuage our sacred hunger and for the water that will quench our soul's thirst. It's a lifelong search. We need different kinds of nourishment at different stages. And we heard earlier the psalmist captured at a desperate moment, longing for such food and drink, longing to be fed and watered by his God. In the contemporary reading, Malcolm Guite's sonnet muses on the table, the communion table, that holds for us today special food and drink, the elements that we have separated out to be our spiritual food. During the Protestant Reformation, the meaning and significance of communion, whether you call it communion, Eucharist, or Lord's Supper, whatever it was called, was a hotly debated topic. When you reject Catholic doctrines, you need to find beliefs that will replace this, and there was a very vigorous search for those. Big debates about, was Christ really present or virtually present in these elements, or is it a memorial meal where we remember his life and work but do not put undue emphasis on the symbolism carried by the bread and the wine? Whole branches of the Protestant Church were formed based on one or other of those understandings. And I was interested to see in Guite's sonnet that he moves on from the elements to the actual table on which they stand and have stood for centuries. He's from the Northern Hemisphere, Cambridge, England, so he names the table as coming from an oak tree. For us, it might be kauri or rimu. Not only, he writes, are the elements upon the table spiritual food which has been honoured for centuries, but also the tree has given us the table. And in doing so, it resonates with the tree, often seen as the central symbol of Christianity, a tree that offers one of those ways of being transformed, the tree of life that symbolises the forgiveness we may need from time to time. And with its verticality, the spiritual connection is symbolised between the heavenly and the earthly. So this ritual of a meal, Guite reminds us, is not just a gulping down of food to satisfy physical hunger and thirst. It's a meal that's redolent of all the people who have brought their hungry, thirsty souls to this moment over centuries. Over 177 years in this parish alone, over 500 years in the Protestant Church, and thousands more in the church before that. So that when we offer just a cup of water in aid to a suffering fellow human being, whether man or woman, girl or boy, trans or cis, it comes not just from the tap or from the goodness of our impulse of the moment, but also with this whole history of nourishing, of feeding and being fed, of watering and being watered, of the transforming of the hunger and thirst of our souls. I've lost count of the people who say to me in different ways how difficult they find believing in Christianity's traditional beliefs. And then they say, I just come here for the community, and perhaps you're one of those people. But this community is the way it is because it stands in a long tradition of many different ways in which spiritual hunger and thirst have been satisfied. And the fact that people from this community are able to offer just a cup of water, and often more than just a cup of water, to the community that surrounds us, is because they are sustained by this community. And this community can do that sustaining, because this community is sustained by the community that we call God. So the offering of just a cup of water is not our bright or compassionate idea of the moment. It has been millennia in the making. Let us fall silent in awe at that idea. And later today, in that long line of history of faith and belief and action, we will ordain an elder today. And that is an office of the church that again has been here for thousands of years, time after time in many different places. Many people have come to help in the leadership of the church. And just as communion has been over the centuries and the millennia for us, so leadership in the church is part of that long tradition. So let us today reach out for that food and that drink and the grain and the grape served here today, so that later we can stretch out our hands to others, holding out that precious cup of water. So may it be.